This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian, and no surprise, I'm also a crazy cat lover. Today, we are going to talk with Debbie Martin. Debbie is a veterinary technician with a specialty in behavior, and she is going to give us a little bit of advice around travel, traveling when you have a cat, and whether or not you want to take the cat, or what your options are for keeping the kitty safe during your vacation times. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with Debbie. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. As I mentioned, I have Debbie Martin. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Cat.
So can you tell a little bit about yourself to my listeners that may not be familiar with what a veterinary technician with a specialty is?
There are only 33 of us actually currently in the world. And it is a veterinary technician who has gone 3 to 5 years of additional training and specialization in behavior and met some criteria to become specialized and to take the exam and pass all of this kind of detailed examination and then be able to become a veterinary technician specialist in behavior. It also involves being a skilled animal trainer, because when you are working as a veterinary technician specialist in behavior, you are helping pet owners generally implement treatment plans to assist with behavioral conditions such as fear, anxiety, phobia, and even aggression.
Wonderful. Well, so what really sparked your interest in behavior and made you kind of do what you did?
Well, interestingly enough, before I went back to school to become a veterinary technician, I was a preschool teacher. And when I got into general practice, I started to wonder, can we have an effect on how dogs and cats turn out based on their early experiences? Just like with children, we have a genetic component, but then also we know if we provide them certain experiences and protect them from negative experiences during their life, that we can actually increase their tolerance to stressful events, but also have a better life just in general. So that took me down the path of preventive animal behavior. And then eventually I realized I can't want everything, even like the best upbringings and doing everything right. There are sometimes situations where dogs and cats need intervention. And so I went into more the intervention route when a disorder had been diagnosed, some kind of fear or phobia, anxiety condition.
Okay, so I'm really interested in preparing my listeners for the things that they might have come up in the summer. Summertime is popular time to travel, and so we have cats, and so there are sometimes challenges with making arrangements for the cats. So I was hoping maybe we could talk a little bit about all of that, because sometimes cats are more stressed by travel, really, than dogs are. And how can owners maybe prepare them for all of this?
Yeah, Dr. Cat, you're right about that. Cats oftentimes have a more difficult time adapting to new environments. And travel is not always something that they enjoy doing, even with their favorite people. And so what we do to help with that, certainly part of it is their early experiences, unfortunately, and we don't always have control of this. Because with cats, it's often that we don't set the expectation early that we're going to take them places. And so we decide, hey, you know, we're going to take a family vacation. It'd be nice for the cat to come along with us. We haven't necessarily prepared the cat for things like that. With dogs, it seems that when we get a puppy or even a young dog or a dog from the shelter is an adult dog, we're already thinking about, well, I want to be able to take them out for walks and I want to take them to the pet store and go places, maybe to the coffee shop. So often dogs are getting out and about much more often because of the fact that that's the expectation that's often set when we have a dog. With cats, if we're not planning ahead, it can make it very difficult once they are actually over about 10 weeks of age, if we haven't started that foundation experiences early, to have them be comfortable in new locations or new environments or truly enjoy going on trips with their people. Some of that depends on the personality of the cat too. So it's not all, if you didn't have control over what happened with your cat before you got them, doesn't mean your cat wouldn't enjoy going with you, but you could have to prepare for that and also think about how can you make it as least stressful for them as possible.
I certainly have clients that have cats that they put in a backpack and take hiking and do different things. And maybe it's a little bit digressing, but so you're saying that if I wanted to travel with my cat, I would want to start early exposing that cat. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, certainly. We want to expose them to car travel if we're going by car, you know, being used to traveling in a barrier and voluntarily going into the barrier. That's going to be the safest place for your cat to travel when they're in a car, or if you're flying with them, they would need to be in a carrier too. So having them comfortable being in a confined space, if this is not something distressing for them, that they actually seek it out and enjoy it. Many cats do like getting into small spaces. I mean, I don't know about you, but most of the cats I know like to get into little cubby holes and kind of curl up into a little ball to take a nap. And so we can fuel that interest just by doing some training tips and actually making it their carrier, their secure place, their sanctuary place. And then we can take that on the road with us in a variety of different contexts.
So if there are people listening who have older cats that really wouldn't enjoy traveling, what do you think would be other options for when they were going to be away? And how do you think maybe we could make those things easier for cats?
Yeah, a couple things, Dr. Cat. One is that I think it's really important to really look at the cat in front of you, your cat. How much do they enjoy going out in the car? How much do they enjoy meeting new people? Like when you have visitors come to the house, are they social and outgoing? Do they enjoy doing that? Or do they tend to hide? The ones that tend to hide, that aren't interested in meeting new people or are quite distressed with going in the car or traveling with you, are probably not going to enjoy going on vacation with you. Right? If you have a cat that's really outgoing, loves meeting new people, doesn't mind going in the car, takes a nap when you do it, be the cat that could do well with taking a trip with you. But if you have one of those ones that you've decided, probably not going to be the best travel companion. And if we could talk to that, what would they say? Hey, I want to stay home, or I'd love to go with you. We try to give them their voice for them. And so if we do decide that they're going to stay home, I would say most cats, especially if they don't like going to different places, are going to be most comfortable being left at home with their familiar surroundings. Smells are really important to them. And then also having a kind of familiar routine.
Yeah. And I suspect you don't mean just pour a really big bowl of food and leave them home, which I hear a lot in my exam room. I think you mean at home with a pet sitter, right?
I do. So we're not just leaving them home alone to fend for themselves. Although the sociability of cats is variable, cats are a social species. So what we mean by that is it doesn't mean that they're like social and they want to go meet lots of other cats and lots of other people, but they do bond closely to familiar people in their lives and maybe even familiar pets that live in the home with them too. Or might we tolerate the other pets for now, but they are capable of forming strong social bonds. And being left isolated and alone is not good for them and not suggested at all. So it's very important that you've got someone that you trust that you can depend on to spend time with your cat. And ideally, we're not just talking about a quick 10-minute morning check and 10-minute evening check, that they're actually spending time with your cat and in the environment, whether they're interacting very much, it depends on the cat and what they want to do. But being present can be very helpful, having a body present for a cat who's not afraid of unfamiliar people.
So do you think it would be a good idea to bring that person in before you leave and let them kind of get to know the cat? I think that's what you're getting at.
I am. And it is always when you're having someone come stay in your home, it's great to make sure that they are feeling comfortable about where everything is. And a good pet sitter is going to require that they come do an in-home visit beforehand so they can see what your typical routine is, what your expectations are. They're going to have lots of questions for you. You could have probably lots of questions for them and kind of figuring out what is the routine that can be put into place that will help mimic kind of a typical day for your cat, but now with the pet sitter present. And that can vary depending on how much interaction you normally have with your cat. And again, on how comfortable that cat is with meeting new people.
That is really good. And I want to delve more into the ways you can sort of smooth that transition for your cat. But I want to take a quick break and then come back and go deeper into this. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat on Pet Life Radio. So Debbie Martin and I are talking about summertime travel when you have a cat, and if you cannot take your cat or the cat really wouldn't enjoy going with you on vacation, you might consider having a pet sitter. So Debbie, you may have had a pet sitter in the past. Are there any specific certifications or training that you think about when you hire a pet sitter?
Definitely. I want someone that is doing this professionally. And it may be that they do other animal related behavior training as well. You know, so oftentimes I'm getting my pet sitters, they're a positive reinforcement animal trainer, and that is going to handle my pets the way that I would want them to, you know, with positive reinforcement and praise as opposed to using corrections or punishment. And then also that they are a professional in some way. So they are getting continuing education about pet sitting if they're offering that as a service. And there is a wonderful organization called Pet Sitters International, where people can become certified as a pet sitter. There's also a great course and certification program through Fear Free. They have a pet sitting Fear Free certification program as well. And that just helps you realize when you're looking for someone at either of those organizations that you've got someone that's all the time to get more information, more knowledge, and they are professional in some way. They care about doing the best job that they can. They've got liability insurance and a business that is up and running. So it's quite important that they are reputable and also have good references.
Yeah, no, I love that. So what kind of communications do you think the pet owner could expect or anticipate from the pet sitter during the time they were away?
It's really important to sit down with the pet sitter and spell out what it is you're expecting. Some people want to have updates once or twice a day about their pets. They want pictures sent via text. Other people just want to be notified if there's something to worry about, right? You know, they're they're disconnecting and don't necessarily want all those updates, or maybe we're not going to have access to a cell phone or their email or however the communication was going to happen. So setting those expectations with the pet sitter beforehand is really important. Me personally, I ask for morning and evening updates on my pet. And I love when they send pictures. So I put it that way. I'm not requiring that they send me a picture all the time, but I do like a morning update and an evening update just to know how things are going.
Me too. I like pictures too. So is there any way, if someone maybe has a pet sitter that doesn't have a certification or something like that, is there any way that they could help explain what to watch for their cat that might have some anxiety associated with their absence?
Yeah, so certainly being aware of common signs of fear, anxiety, and stress in cats is really important for the pet sitter as well as pet owners. And so there's a really great resource on Fear-Free Happy Home. It's a wonderful video tutorial. It's about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long. It's called Cat Body Language 101. And for that can be a resource that the pet owner could send to the client, or just having a discussion about, these are signs when my cat's unhappy. You know, these are typical behaviors my cat shows when they're relaxed and happy. And so please watch for these signs. And if you see any of these, please let me know, because that may be a sign that they're not coping well with the changes in the routine or the changes in the schedule.
So what if my listeners, for example, can't take their cat on vacation and don't have a pet sitter and need to board their cat? Are there any things that we can do to make that less stressful for cats?
Certainly. I mean, taking familiar items with you, I would definitely, if you're taking them for boarding, make sure you find the boarding facility that understands the importance of the most emotional well-being of your cat, not just their physical well-being, but also the emotional well-being of your cat. And most likely, if they understand that, they're going to be okay with you bringing your cat's favorite bed, their favorite toys, some comfort items from home that smell familiar and will help your cat feel more at ease. Other things that we can do, regardless of if they're boarding or they're being observed by a pet sitter or even traveling with you. I mean, all these are changes in the kind of typical day-to-day for the cat, so will be slightly stressful. So regardless of the context, things that we can do are using calming pheromones. So Feloe, or there's other brands out there. There's Beesterine has a calming pheromone too for cats. So there are several out there on the market that you can use either as a diffuser or a spray. The spray is great for travel because you didn't fill the car with it. Just make sure if you spray that calming pheromone in the car that you wait about 10 or 15 minutes before having your cat in there, because it needs to dry. That's the same thing if you sprayed it on their bedding or a towel that you used to cover their terrier. That can help promote calm and help your cat feel safe in that environment. The other thing would be severing things like probiotics. So all cats in these situations, when we have a change in routine, having a probiotic sprinkled on their food once a day. As you're going to add probiotics, though, make sure you do it before you leave to make sure your cat will eat their food with it on there, not just when they're there or they're at the boarding facility, because that's too many changes at one time, making their food taste different. But probiotic, there's a specific one called Calming Care, was made by Purina, that was marketed and is being used for changes in routine and environment to help them cope with stressors like that. So it also was found to decrease sleeping behavior when the cat was painful. So starting a probiotic maybe a week before the planned trip, whether the cat's going with you, sitting at home, or going to a boarding facility, would be beneficial, and it isn't going to hurt as long as the cat recognizes their food and will eat it. Most of them find it kind of like inky and yummy, so not too much of an ask for a lot of cats to eat the probiotic on their food.
And definitely bring their food, their regular food, if you're boarding them, right?
Yeah.
We don't need hunger strikes.
Exactly. In fact, you know, they get wrapped for being quite finicky about what they eat, and Again, that's based on early learning experiences. So if you are getting the kitten, it's great to provide them with a variety of different types of food, wet food, dried food, fresh, all kinds of things, variety of different textures and tastes so that they can get used to that and see it as food and be less finicky as an adult cat, hopefully. But early experiences play a big role in that.
So if I get a kitten, I've got to teach it to go with me very, very early on, and I've got to rotate its different food, and I've basically got to call you, right?
Yes, preventive is much easier than leading and existing fear. So if we can put things in there beforehand and get them kind of off on the right paw to begin with early on, it just makes things easier later on in life when we're trying to expose them to new environments or novelties. What I was going to add is if your cat is distressed by being boarded or having a pet sitter or is going with you and is lately stressed with that routine being off as well, talk to your veterinarian about anxiolytics or medications that would help your cat kind of get through and cope a little bit better. Not a sedative, not something to make the cat sleepy, but something that just puts a little bit of fear away and will make the whole experience a little bit better for them. That their routine is off and they're slightly stressed, even maybe depressed in its way.
Yes, I love that. Everybody get to their veterinarian. I may not be objective in that advice, but that's what I say. So I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about these things. I always love talking to you.
Oh, Dr. Kat, it's always great to catch up. And it's been too long. We need to talk more often.
I agree. We just need to make it a date, I guess. So thanks for your time. And again, always, thank you to Mark Winter, who is our meowsing producer. And my listeners, if you enjoyed this show and you would like to hear more, please subscribe and follow and listen and share and go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.